All right. Now, before we get stupid over the weekend, we thought right now we'd just get dumb.
The dumbest thing of the day.
This is dumb.
Hello, Scott Reed.
Well, hello, my good friends. So let me dive into it, because the dumbest thing about today is also the most distressing. It's the news, of course, that a new variant has been detected in South Africa. We don't know much about it. They call it Omicron. I guess that's named after a transformer. But they say it mutates multiple ways, that it's highly transmissible. The all-important question as to whether or not this vaccine, whether this thing is resistant to vaccine, is undetermined. No indication of that yet, but of course that is the vital critical question, because if it is, then all bets are off. The Dow dropped 1,100 points. The WHO called an emergency meeting. Travel bans are popping up like unwelcome cousins at Christmas. But why do I call it the dumbest thing of the day? Because after all, this is a very serious issue, and that's because it was so predictable and potentially so avoidable. For a year, at least, the WHO and health experts have warned us again and again, and they've said this. They've said none of us is safe until we're all safe. That means all people in all parts of the world, in countries of all income level, are vaccinated. 79% of us, roughly, in Canada are vaccinated with one dose or both. 28% in South Africa. And they've got some wealth, actually, in South Africa. But among countries that are low income, 5.6%, that's it. Only 5.6% have received even a single dose. And it matters to us. It matters to everyone listening and driving home today, because those variants breed, mutations breed, possibly more vicious and unmanageable strains of COVID breed, where the vaccines are not. We have a moral obligation in the developed world to get vaccines to those people. And if you prefer selfish reasons, well, then we have a selfish reason. Omicron may not be the doomsday event, but the next one might be. And the fact that we didn't take swifter action to vaccinate all those, rich and poor, every corner of the world before this, that is why this is the dumbest thing of the day.
Oh, lots to unpack, Scott. And I listened to you, you know, earlier today on the Friday free-for-all with Amanda, and you could tell that it was, you know, still fairly fresh, but incredibly frustrating, because essentially, you know, my first question to you was going to be, are you surprised that we acted so quickly when it comes to travel bans? Yet essentially what you're saying is that we've had all the time in the world to act and we did nothing, basically.
Well, we've done some things. I mean, we've contributed to something called COVAX, which is an international effort to collect dollars and doses to spread around the world. But we haven't done enough. You know, America hasn't done enough. Rich countries haven't done enough. We haven't pushed for patent relaxation. We haven't done enough in terms of saying to the pharmaceutical companies, get these vaccines into these countries. You know, we're getting third boosters, right? You know, and naturally, we want them. We want to protect ourselves. But the irony is we're not protecting ourselves if we're leaving those people unvaccinated. And, you know, I'm not surprised about the travel bans, and I don't even howl about the travel bans. I think they're inevitable because people get scared. They want to protect themselves. I think they're likely to be ineffective, largely ineffective, because this thing moves. You know, like people, viruses don't show their passport when they boot across the border, right? And they don't just come with people on airplanes. So I look at this situation, I say to myself, why 6, 7, 8 months ago weren't world leaders? Why at the G7 didn't they do more? They make announcements and all that sort of stuff, but really getting needles in arms, 5.6%, we're asking for this kind of trouble, just asking for it.
Scott, as I was listening to your rant, I was big time nodding along, because I was basically saying the same stuff earlier in the show, that, you know, we got to stop thinking about this as a they problem and see it as an us problem and get everyone vaccinated. But here's the problem. We've been talking about this for months, but we haven't been talking about it 4 months, because it only comes up as a headline when stuff like this happens. How do we keep this conversation top of mind for people? How do we, you as a communicator, how do you convince people that this is their problem? Because this isn't a new issue. We were talking about it a year ago when we started talking about vaccine hoarding and all the numbers of vaccines that we had, you know, coming our way. So here we are a year later and we're still talking about it. We have a real problem in front of us. How do we fix this?
I'm hoping that two things are different just based on the passage of time and developments that have occurred. So one, so many rates of high vaccination in developed countries. In other words, we now feel secure enough that we have the security to be generous. Let's hope at least we'll meet that mark. Second thing is, I hope that, and this is going to sound really strange, and I don't want it to be taken the wrong way, right? I hope that this virus, this new variant rather, is obviously not, you know, resistant to vaccines. I hope that it peters out. I hope that we can track, trace, isolate it, and stamp it out. But I also hope that it kickstarts concern. I hope that it threads a needle of saying to people, oh, so we stopped this one, but we might not stop the next one. So I'm hoping the fact that we're getting boosters and we now feel like, okay, well, I know I'm personally safe, means that there's enough political space that political leaders can say, all right, we are going to really donate dollars and doses internationally. And, you know, like it's not beyond the ken of mortals. It's literally just money. Like, even if it just comes down to paying the pharmaceutical companies and saying, listen, we're going to produce regionally and we're going to distribute everywhere. It can be done.
It's interesting, though, the timing of this variant, though, because we, as you mentioned, we are getting to the point of boosters. I had two good friends of mine. They and their young son recently tested positive. They were among the first people, because my friend is Indigenous, to get vaccinated back in the spring. So it was like, suddenly it was like, oh, like people are, and I've heard tons of stories like that, you know, these breakthrough infections, and it's making people nervous, even though they're not getting sick to the level of having to go to the hospital. The vaccines that they have do work. But it's interesting to have this, and it's a real barrier, I think, to have this variant come up when it is, as people are wrapping their heads around getting these boosters. I guess the question is, like, do we have enough vaccines to boost and make a significant dent in the more impoverished countries' vaccine numbers?
Well, there's no reason we shouldn't have them, because we have the formulas now. We have the production facilities. We have the distribution mechanisms. Like, we have all that. We have developed that over the course of the past year. A lot of it's happened at super speed, and that's an incredible achievement. But we should have that stuff, and we should be in a position where we can actually literally flip a switch and make some of this stuff happen. And, you know, I guess the one, you know, I want to be careful. I worked for a G7 leader, right? My advice to the WHO, and I've chatted with them a few times about stuff, is there's no point in pretending that developed countries are going to give doses that their own populations need. They're not going to deny their own people. That's just, it's human instinct that they'll do that. So the question is, what can be done to ensure that there's broader manufacture, that there's patent relaxation, that there's distribution? And the answer is, you know, the Canadas and the Frances and the Englands and the Americas have to pay more. Like, we have to pay more. And if we don't think it's in our self-interest to pay more, just watch the news tonight about Omicron.
Before we let you go, I want to get your political take on travel bans, because this is essentially, you know, what doctors are saying. This is Dr. Isaac Bogosh.
We've seen this a million times before throughout this pandemic. We've seen it with Alpha variant. We've seen it with Delta variant. Okay, maybe it slows down the introduction, but it actually doesn't stop that virus or that variant from coming into your country.
So is this just like a political band-aid that's going to appease, you know, normal people that don't really pay attention?
No, I don't think that. I think it would be irresponsible. I would be lying to you if I told you that if I was, you know, still working for a premier or a prime minister, that I wouldn't say to them to call for a travel ban. You know, you're going to do that just out of the precautionary principle. Even if the efficacy is low, it's better than doing nothing. And I don't think it's just about political show. The question is, when that doesn't prove to be as effective as you want, when the thing spreads, what else are we doing in addition to that? You can't stop governments from doing it. Like, people are scared, man. You know,
and that's the problem with the travel bans, though. They can act as a good distraction. When Doug Ford starts talking about closing the border, that's not getting to the root of the problem. So it's a big distraction when we need to be talking about the real solution, which is, of course, as you said, getting the world vaccinated.
Yeah, I look at it as an inevitable step, but if anybody looks at it as the whole of the remedy, they're really, really, really got blinders on. And there are negative consequences, by the way, right? I mean, one of the risks is that countries where outbreaks occur may be discouraged from reporting. They were like, well, I don't want to join the list of people who are gates up from the rest of the world. So there is that risk. But I'd be lying again. I'd be lying if I said to you, I would tell the prime minister, don't call for it. People want to feel like steps are being taken to protect them.
Scott Reed, the dumbest thing of the day. Hopefully this is your last appearance. Are you ready to start your weekend yet?
I am going to start my week.
I feel like you've been on every show on the station today.
I'm going for the twist cap shortly. See ya.
Okay, awesome. Buddy.
See ya.
Have a great weekend.